the one that got me was Fruit of the Basket.
Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, yeah, that. What
about it?
It's in the basket.
Yeah, but yeah. It's not. The basket was never a thing.
Shut up. Shut up. Even I know there's a basket. No.
Wait, is there?
It's a cornucopia. Yes.
I remember the cornucopia.
Yeah.
I remember it too. It was never a thing. The cornucopia is not a
How
thing.
Is that in our heads?
That's what I'm trying to figure out too.
Severance.
Severance.
There you go. We're all severed.
So you're telling me they never upload. Maybe they updated the logo.
They have a whole timeline of the logo.
No.
That's not true.
No, you need to stop this.
Because like.
They never had it.
Nah.
They never ever had it.
Whoa. No, there's a cornucopia there.
That's not a real logo.
Nah, go on to web. Like, literally, there's a fruit.
Why does it say fact check?
They got fruit.com.
No, why do we have to fact check this? Viral claim debunked? What?
Nah, peep. I'm on the actual website right now.
They might have added it now, but it was never there.
I regret taking this podcast.
Hey, too late now. So say face and blame the melanin, man. Some discredit where I'm from, but I rep Kettering, fam. They say it's luck and not my elegant plans, but I'm from PG ballin', took my shot like I'm Kevin Durant. Swish. A lot's changed, but I'm still me. Still me. Yeah.
See, my first anime was obviously DBZ.
Word.
Toonami.
Valid.
Like Adult Swim. Trigun. Samurai Champloo.
Ooh,
valid. Yeah,
some of the best bits.
Valid.
Best bits.
Mm-hmm.
I think the intro episode was like some dude rocking a jersey, Iverson jersey. I remember.
Yeah,
Samurai Champloo.
Yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, because the whole soundtrack was a hip hop soundtrack.
Yeah,
they had Nujabes on it. Rest in peace. But yeah, that was
like growing up on Toonami is like an experience that like you can't replicate. So many people don't know how it's like to grow up on Toonami. Period. You'll see Prince of Tennis. I didn't even watch Prince of Tennis. Prince of Tennis was there. Freaking. Bobo. I don't know if you know that show. The guy with the afro. Big, like, buff dude. Whatever. But, yeah, no. Toonami was a really
good show. I don't watch big buff dudes with afros.
It's an anime, bro.
Oh, my fault. I didn't hear the context.
Oh, I thought that was his first boyfriend that you were telling me about.
No. That guy had braids.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's right. Makes sense.
Y'all.
That's what I'm telling you. When you watch Black Mirror, watch the VR episode. You'll relate to it, bro.
Yo, could we go outside for like 30 seconds to just fight?
You know I'm a pacifist.
I'm about pacifist, bro. Stop playing with me.
Word to Capital Steez, man.
Capital Steez. I'm so happy you brought up Cap, bro. Rest That's one of my favorite lyricists, bro.
I just did a Joey Badass breakdown before I came here.
Oh, wait, for real?
Yeah.
Joey's my favorite rapper.
I just did his third response now to everything.
Oh, yeah.
Not really a response. It's kind of like more just...
Wait, give
it's
me
a dope track. It's a dope track, but he doesn't like address anyone directly.
Wait, again. Give me hip because I'm not hip to it.
Right. Yeah. So this is the third one now. So the first one he dropped, like it was indirects, but you knew it was coming for Kendrick Lamar.
Okay.
But the thing he also
hold on, Kendrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. Wait,
yeah. You need to tap in with this. Hang on. Like he basically declared war on the whole West Coast because he had like just indirects at the entire West Coast.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Right? He said, what was it? Too much West Coast dick licking.
That's what he said, yeah.
That's crazy.
Right. You know
he tried to position it as like East Coast versus West Coast.
Yeah.
But the problem was nobody on the East Coast started like jumping in with him. So it turned into like a 20-1. So like you had a bunch of like TDE diss him, you had Ray Vaughn diss him back. Daylight hopped in on it.
Daylight, yeah.
You had who else? The dude from Chicago, Mick Jenkins. Like, he's up and coming. He's a dope lyricist. Like
He's not even up and coming. He's been in the game for a minute.
You're right. That's
Mick Jenkins has been in the game for a while.
Very true. I misspoke on that. Yeah. But, so, like, everybody started firing shots back at Joey. Mm-hmm. Everybody's waiting on to see what Joey's going to do. And Joey doesn't address anyone. Just, like, drops a track, has more indirects, basically, and just kind of does whatever the hell he wants to do.
This time at J. Right? Cole.
Yeah. Instead, he moves the goalpost. Yeah. Instead, he goes, all right, I'm not even addressing that. Now I'm going to start dissing J. Cole. Now we're going to deal with J. Cole.
He says something like, oh, might delete later. You know, Joey won't do that. Or something like that. Like,
oh.
Yeah. He had an obvious. It was an obvious.
Yeah. It was very direct. Yeah. But like, it was like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah.
Wait. So like, were any of the responses good? I'm assuming Joey's was already better. Like, I'm going to be very honest just because I'm biased.
No, I rock with Joey heavy. I haven't listened to them.
I liked Daylight's responses. I think Daylight's second response was really good to Joey. Like, the only issue that people are having with Joey right now is he's putting out dope tracks, but he continues to, like, just throw indirects but never address anyone.
Go back.
It's like everyone else is coming direct at him right now, And he still is refusing to go direct back, but he's the one who started the situation in the first place.
Yeah, you're initiating a back and forth, brother. You're not engaging.
What's that one Big Sean Kendrick Lamar track that
Control?
Control, yeah, Control.
Yeah.
So with Control,
it was kind of like a Control mentality. Like that's what Joey's doing.
That's what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah. It just wasn't name drops. It was just subliminals the whole way.
Yeah, Kendrick at least like Kendrick had a list, didn't he? On Control, like he called out everyone. But yeah, Joey's just been indirecting the whole time. But on the last track, it was funny because now he's talking about like, you know. He was referencing a Kendrick bar, like, if I catch a flight, it's going to be direct.
Oh,
and he's talking about coming direct with it, but he has yet to come direct with it. Like, he's complaining about everything.
I got
to
tap in.
I haven't heard the most recent one.
Joey's funny, dude. He's really talented. I guess this is him coming back into the scene, because you know he took a break. He takes breaks all the time.
You know what it has resulted in is, like, there's been some really dope tracks dropped around this whole situation.
Of course.
If he didn't start it, then we wouldn't have had all of this that's been going on.
Man, how come whenever there's like dope tracks coming out, it's because of East Coast versus West Coast? Because
some beef, like, man. It's like, it's gotta be.
You think that's why 2016 was popping, because there was no East Coast versus West Coast beef going on? Like, I'm just saying, like,
2016?
All of the SoundCloud rappers are popping up. Yeah,
because there's no beef. There was no East Coast. It's like everyone had to start new stuff.
Think about it. Like, you had, back then, you had the 30 South versus New York, New York versus Cali, Cali versus Texas. Mm. Like, everyone was repping their state. But then it goes away.
There's definitely been a return to more, like, regional hip hop.
Yeah.
And, like, people trying to hone in more on their areas once more and, like, their sounds and their local sounds.
Yeah. I prefer that more.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Like, because, like, there's, like, I want to rep DC, but
we don't got as much representation right now.
If it's not go-go, it's a no-no. Like, that's the only problem. Like, you know, coming up, like, playing shows in DC, because obviously this is my area, like, it was hard to tap in. Because there just wasn't a lot of really hip-hop venues because go-go is so big. So, like, either a lot of people would cross over, they'd mix in some go-go. But, like, you'd have to go up to, like, B-More and, like, try to tap into B-More. But you're coming from D.C. There's still a little bit of a disconnect from the D.C. and B-More thing. You know?
They don't even say B-More is DMV. So, it's like, there's always going to be a disconnect there. I feel like just in general, like, for a while, and I do agree with you guys, like, I love the regional representation now, because, like, for a while, it was just New York and Atlanta.
Yeah.
So, now that people are, like, coming out and, like, sort of representing their thing, and you can, you know,
always... I mean, yeah, we've had some good music come out of DMV, for sure.
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously, Corday's doing his thing.
Salute to Corday.
Right? Salute to Corday.
Crossroads is a great
He's PG, album. Man. Crossroads is great. I love Crossroads. Logic did his thing for a while. Salute Wale did his thing for a while.
Of course.
King Los is still spitting crazy out of B-More. IDK.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got some dope artists, man. Yeah,
one thing I like about Wale is him adding Go-Go to his album. Yeah. I rock with that heavy. Like, that's it.
Everyone knows he's from DMV. And, like, I feel like he pushes that a lot. Like, that's, like, his... That's like he makes that his image. Like DMV, you think DMV.
Well, look at his hit, PG Chillin'.
See what I'm saying?
PG Chillin', my name Wale, and I came to.
Like, he's never let that go. It's like how people are so quick to be like, I'm from New York, I'm from here, I'm from. Especially like people that are from New York are really quick to say that they're from New York. When you think, like, Wale is really synonymous with the DMV.
Yeah.
And I feel like
it's. And I think, I mean, the DMV loves him for that.
What he wears as well, like phone posits and all that type of stuff, sort of like really making that his image. And I feel like that's good to have that because we don't have that many people really representing the DMV that much.
We need more of that.
And that's why I commend you on putting DMV in your freaking username.
Yeah, man.
Because it's like, that's how I knew he was from the DMV because his Instagram's literally Knoxville DMV.
Hey.
Like, literally, I don't really do interviews. I don't really take on podcasts. But the second that he reached out, and then I just looked and I saw DMV, I'm like, I didn't even need to know. Like, I was like, all right, let's do it. Let's make it happen.
And just also for a lot of the viewers, this goes specifically to you, Charlie. When I told you I had a white cousin, you did not believe me. This is him, Knox. So, yeah, this is my cousin right here, man. He's also the first white guy we had on the podcast.
Oh, clap it up. First white person I won in a melanin. This is lovely, you know?
And Charlie, you owe me $10. And he can heal.
How messed up is this, too? You had to go into PG to get me, too.
Exactly.
I feel like you could have just gone in Virginia here and grabbed someone quicker.
Yeah, but I had to get my actual cousin, like, by blood, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is wild.
Yeah, like, bro, Thanksgiving. Yeah.
I got invited this past year, bro. Enjoy every time. Joe Aventine. Lovely. You would think he wouldn't like mesh. Everyone meshes so well. There was even a cornucopia there.
There was. We did a Fruit of the Loom. Just ran it back to that.
Just cosplay.
Yeah. We did. Yeah.
I'm still pissed off about that, dude. So you're telling me there really is no cornucopia on the Fruit of the Loom logo?
No. There has to be. I'm going to, like, try to find. Because, like, no. I think there's still, like, a bag of, like, my old clothes when I grew up. Like, I'm going to, like, dig through that and try to find, like, that Fruit of the Loom t-shirt. And
I
that
swear
tag.
They're trolling
us. It's got to happen.
I swear they're trolling us. There's no way.
You want to hear something that's even crazier?
What's that?
This is the, you know how, like, people say Nick Cannon has, like, 20 kids?
Yeah.
He only has 4.
Shut up.
He only has 4.
No.
Nick Cannon only has 4 kids. Look it up. I'm not even messing with you guys.
I don't believe a word you're saying.
Look it up. Just look it up right now. I'm telling you.
I just have to keep doing deep breaths like this whole podcast. How many kids? Like, I'm going to need therapy after this.
Does Nick Cannon have? Hold on. Nick Cannon have.
The fact that you have to Google it when you know the answer was right, you got to be confident in yourself, bro.
Nick
like,
Cannon
what are you
has,
doing?
I just wanted to double check. Okay. Nick Cannon has 12 children with 6 different women.
Be confident in yourself. See?
I just wanted to make sure I'm saying the right thing.
Yeah, I know, but I was wrong. On purpose, I was hoping you would
be confident. But the way that you presented it.
Yeah. But see, you can lie. You know, as long as it's not convincing, that's it.
I was going to say, this goes into a much deeper political topic.
Stay woke, bro.
Everything we're being fed is lies. It's like, nah, we're not going to.
We're all severed.
Wake up, America. Interstand. It's like, I don't know. Welcome to One in the Mountain. How y'all doing today?
Was good.
If we haven't introduced him already, we have Knox Hill in the building. Clap it up for Knox Hill.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tell them who you are. Tell them what you do. Tell us where you came from.
Sometimes I make videos and people watch them.
Where?
Yeah. And I'm from the DMV.
That's a good way to put it.
Simple as that.
Sometimes I make videos and sometimes people watch. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Sometimes I make sounds too and like people listen to that and that's pretty dope as well. Fair enough. No, honestly, like a YouTuber, content creator, rapper, you know, play shows, do live streams, make daily content. And grind. That's the name of the game. I mean, I've been on YouTube for over 10 years.
Damn.
Decade plus. Damn. I know.
Damn.
I know. And the thing is like, it was just persistence. Like, I had a few videos that did really well. Like, I had a few songs that, like, took off. But, like, I never really went anywhere. Probably, like, first 7 years of it. And then all of a sudden, I'd say, like, the past, like, 3-4 years is when things just started to
Do you remember the first off. Video that ever, like, was doing numbers? What was that moment like?
Yeah, how'd that feel?
Yeah, it was wild because, like, getting started then, YouTube was very different than it is today.
Yeah,
you know, you didn't have, like, a lot of examples of people that were making a living off of YouTube yet, right? And it was still, like what? There was no one really in the music space I can think of that was, like, doing it independently yet and, like, blowing up. You know, it was like you kind of looked at YouTube. You didn't look at it for music. You looked at like the Philip DeFrancos, and you looked at
William Johnson,
Angry Orange,
Giga Smosh, like that type of
stuff. Smosh and all that. Yeah, exactly. So it's been wild to just watch the ecosystem just totally change over the years and shift. But hey, I think it's really empowered independent artists, and like we were talking about, like it's given me a platform to further my music, my sound, and further the DMV too.
Honestly, because. Like you said, that was back when skits were more popular than anything.
Yeah.
Because nowadays, you can see, and we talked about this before, a lot of skit creators have millions of subscribers, but they only get like a few thousand views now.
Yeah. That's also been wild, is watching like big creators take off, build these massive platforms, and then just pew.
The climate has shifted so much, and you would think that they'd still get their videos pushed out to those millions of subscribers, but clearly not, because they're not getting the views no more.
That's the cynical thing, I think, with the algorithm is, like, I have 1.5 million subscribers. I publish a video. 1.5 million people are not going to watch that video.
Yeah.
They're not even going to be served the notification. Only 5% of my audience is going to get served a notification. So that's like, if you want to have the equivalent of 1.5 mil, you have to have 100 mil. Like, you have to keep blowing up and blowing up, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, it just, the algorithm just gets you to keep in this endless game of growth and analytics, really. So I mean, it can drive you crazy.
Just keeps going. It's like cat and mouse.
I mean, it's the same with all social media platforms now. Like Insta, like when you make a post, you're only going to get a very small percentage of your audience served it. So it's like just trying to, as a creator, like build moats, really, so that, you know, maybe part of your audience sees it on Insta. Maybe part of your audience sees it on X. Maybe part of your audience sees it on YouTube. Maybe you leverage like YouTube posts or shorts in different ways to like just create contact points now, because it's, yeah.
That's it's the wild. Crazy thing about the algorithm. Like the fact that we have algorithms running everything.
Yeah.
And they're all entirely different on each platform as well. So what yeah. works on one platform won't work, may not work on another platform.
Hey. Very true.
So it's so interesting, bro.
You know what's crazy too? I just got to get this off my chest.
Yeah, go for it.
Real Pages.
Real Pages. Real Pages. Oh, we're doing this right now?
Yeah, we got to do this.
He has a vendetta against Real Pages.
So
Go on.
So for those that don't know, Real Pages is a company that basically is the rental property mafia. They price gouge. They will manipulate the market, ensuring that prices are high for apartments. Look into it. That algorithm is really, really hurting us.
There goes our Real Pages. That's our Real Pages. That's my rant for today.
That's this video is not sponsored by Real Pages.
Probably never will get sponsored by Real Pages now.
When you're editing that, I
know can we put the logo.
There's a disclaimer, right?
I need you to do that.
I got you.
With his voice still, I just need that.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
That's but yeah, now funny. back to YouTube algorithm. Search up milk on TikTok.
No, wait, what? Why?
That's actually a trend right now.
Searching up
milk on TikTok and see what your feed looks like. That describes who you are.
Milk. Milk's just such an off word to me for whatever reason.
Right? Yeah. But yeah, nah, milk, it's, for me, alhamdulillah,
what are we talking? We talking 2%? We talking whole? Or
no, we're talking about if you're freaky or if you're not freaky. Yeah, or if you're, like, it's, for me, I just get, like, funny milk memes.
Understood.
Some people, you can see what kind of side of TikTok they're on. Like, it is.
Fair enough.
Yeah, so.
My For You page on TikTok is really calm. I'd probably say it's the most PG out of everything that I have on my phone. It's fun. It's just funny content. Just comedians and stuff. So it's chill.
Not the buff guy with the afro?
Have you never watched Bobo before?
Same thing three times fast, please.
No, because I don't even know how many.
Pair if you...
I don't even know how many. I don't even know how many bows are inside the title. Like, I'm just like Bobo. That's gonna bother me. Hold on, y'all continue talking.
See,
he
says that his For You page is very, you know, family friendly.
Of course it is.
I find it convenient that everything's recording right now. That's not what he said before.
Yeah,
remember what he was showing us before?
he said, "Hey,
fake news."
He said, "Hey,
putting out a narrative."
Let me show you about this milk trend real quick.
It'd be your own family.
He's the one who told me about the milk trend.
It'd be your own family members, bro. Yo, we bring our white cousins out here. We're trying to be cohesive and be friendly.
I gotta stick with my family, like, you know.
We're literally cousins. You can't beat this blood. This blonde blood, like,
I'm still family. Am I not family?
You are family, but like, this is my blood cousin. Like
blood is thicker. You know?
You're still my brother. You're like my brother, but this is cousin. Like, again.
Bruh, I'm saying.
Like,
I feel like I'm in like the WWE right now, just having like the whole bloodline mess.
Would you ever do a WWE match?
Absolutely.
For real?
Yeah.
So we had
our. Bro, I called out The Rock on our last podcast episode, bro. I'm all for it. I'd do it.
Would you want to? Well, okay, in the contract, would you want to win or lose?
Would I want to win? Why would I want to lose?
Would you ever do WWE?
If I could be a villain, I'd lose.
Exactly. I'd lose. Yeah. That's where I was going with.
Yeah.
I want to be the villain.
Yeah. You can have so much more fun with that.
Exactly. People like villains more. In hindsight, unless you're John Cena or something, like, people like villains more because you stand out more.
I want to like battle against John Cena, and when he does this, I'm like, yo, I still see you. I still see you, son.
This is corny. Like, get them jorts out of here, brother. Do something out of style for the past 10 years.
Hey, he's still rocking with it. I respect that.
He's on his retirement tour, dude. He's almost done.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Oh, John Cena's been wrestling for mad long, dude. When you think WWE, you think John Cena. So it's like, for him to finally be on his retirement tour, it's like, damn. Like, everyone's getting older now, dude.
Yeah.
Everyone's getting older.
Yeah, but you could have said that, like, back about The Rock when you used to think about it back then. Like, it was all about The Rock. And then
I feel like it's
on to the next one.
Hulk Hogan,
yeah.
The way people don't rock with Hulk Hogan, it's insane.
Well, okay, he did it to himself.
No, I know. But, like, literally, the first episode of Raw this year in January, he showed up. And the way they booed him out the arena was ridiculous.
The way they booed him out?
Yeah, it was on Netflix.
They
booed him out.
Yes.
Yeah, like, they were booing him. Like, they wouldn't even let him get words out like that. Like, he thinks he's robbing. Like, yeah, Hulkamaniacs, yeah. Like, they're like, get out of here, bro. Nah, it was bad, bro. It was bad.
See, I'm cool with I like the idea of a WWE villain, but not a real villain.
I think he embraced the villain too much. Yeah, he really went off on that. So. Hulk is,
golly, bro.
Hey, so speaking of villains, who's your favorite villains?
Okay. Oh, that's a good.
Well, Vegeta?
Oh, could you argue though? Yeah. Oh.
I mean, OG Vegeta's a villain.
OG Vegeta.
Yeah.
OG.
The first time
was he a villain?
The first time you see him, bro.
This is the question.
But he was always doing it for
this is the philosophy we're getting into now.
I was trying to kill Gohan, and Gohan was
Dragon Ball Z philosophy?
Mm. In his mind, was he ever the villain, really? He was just doing what he was raised to do. Yeah. Always.
And he was doing it in the name of the same people.
But are villains, in their minds, do they ever think they're villains, though? Like, they always have a reason for it.
I mean, one of Joker's henchmen is trying to save up money for college, so Batman beats him up.
I mean, all right, Dark Knight Joker was definitely aware and just loved chaos and embraced chaos. Like, I would say that's a villain that knew that they were doing awful things and
that's fair.
Wasn't trying to justify it.
Yeah, some people just like just it. Just
leaning
for,
into it.
And Joaquin Phoenix, his Joker was someone who went through struggle.
That's true. So that one's justified is based on, it's subjective. Yeah. Whether you believe that it's justified is based on what you think about it. But is Vegeta a villain? Not anymore. Obviously not. But at one point, absolutely, I'd say.
Favorite villain.
Villain. My favorite villain, I'd say Madara. From Naruto. I think he's my favorite villain.
Madara, really?
I like Madara. I think he's a good villain. Just because I feel
really?
Like he just...
No, you have to justify this.
Yeah, no.
Are we just saying this because we just want to plug Naruto right now?
Two reasons. One, because I want to plug Naruto. Yeah. And two, because I feel like he really, like... I feel like the name Madara alone, just throughout the entire series, we didn't even know who he was exactly. Mm. Someone was cosplaying as Madara. That showed how much presence he had. And then when he came out... He literally, like, he toyed with everybody.
Yeah.
And, like, it was at a point where, and the thing is, even he felt justified because he wanted to, you know, put out his project Tsukenomi or whatever and try to make everyone live in a dream so they don't have to stress. But at the same time, he's just trying to control the entire world. Yeah. He's just trying to control the entire world. So it's like, it's sick thoughts and he's powerful. So I feel like that makes a good villain who has also somewhat justified.
Hold on.
Go on.
Do you think Ben Stiller got the idea for Severance or whoever the showrunner is of Severance from Madara?
I mean, what is it? Like, what's the philosophy? There is no original creativity. Every creative idea is borrowed in some way.
Yeah.
The ether.
So there could be.
Is that what it was? The ether. Yeah. The source.
So I'm gonna keep that in my journal tonight.
The parallels. I'm going to say Madara, though. Madara is probably my favorite villain.
For me, my villain, he is someone who is tunnel vision. He has always maintained the same goal, but he never let it corrupt his heart.
Oh, I know someone else, too.
He is constant. He wants to do the best by his wife, and his wife is supportive of him and his decisions. Mm-hmm. And he knows someone who is a capitalist warlord who wants to just... take in all the profit as much as he can on the backs of two underpaid employees. Plankton.
I was just about to say you were talking about Plankton. I caught it, but I was I hate you. I caught it. I caught
that was,
it. I
that
caught
was
it.
A setup right there.
I love that.
I love the lead in narration.
Thank you. Think about it. Like, if you really break it down.
I caught that.
Plankton has been consistent.
I caught that.
I want to switch up on my villain. I want to switch up. My favorite villain, right, is related to me. But different melanin levels. And like
understood.
Every Thanksgiving, he says that he's going to bring something and like contribute to the family meal. And he always shows up and just never does it. Never follows through. Right. He leaves early. Like, I love spending time with him. I feel like he doesn't return my calls. He doesn't really get back to me anymore. And now all of a sudden that I'm a big YouTuber, he's like, oh, come on my podcast. Come hang out with me. And it's like, OK, fine. Like, as long as I get to spend time with you.
Yeah, Bilal, you
yo,
up for that,
that's
man.
So crazy.
Messed up for that, man.
I caught that one too. Why y'all throwing subs, bro? We all family here. You trying to be like Joey Badass? Come throwing out subs, only subs.
I'm never coming direct.
Yo, Joey, we love
I'm
you.
On the Joey, I'm on the Joey connecting flight. So
that's crazy, bro.
You know what was the person that came to my mind though? That Finney sent me. Why did he say?
Why did he say F me for? Foul. If I could think of another villain, one that came to my head was Kid Buu from Dragon Ball Z.
Ooh, Kid Buu.
Just because he was one. Just grimy. Just for the sole purpose of being grimy.
He did not care.
Just an evil guy, just be evil. Popped up and just destroyed the planet.
The best villains have to have some charisma. Like, yeah.
Understandable.
The best villains got to get you rooting for them.
Yeah.
You know?
Because, like, if you're just pure evil just for the sake of being pure evil and not even for the purpose of trying to appeal to nobody, I guess that's, I can see why that's like, yeah.
Nah, you know who the most evil character in Harry Potter is in the franchise? His uncle. Harry Potter's uncle is the most evil guy because he had no reason
to be. Because even Dudley gets some redeeming qualities about himself as it goes on.
Exactly. The uncle hated him.
Has no redeeming qualities.
Whatsoever. He did not, like, for no reason. Mm. Not even related to him. No bias, no issue with Harry's mother or father. Just did not like Harry.
Yeah.
Like, I was at the Wizard World, and I forgot his name. The guy who betrayed Harry's father. What's his name?
Wormtail,
right? That someone told me, someone at the Wizard World was saying, oh, Wormtail is the most evil character.
I haven't watched after Sorcerer's Stone, so I generally don't know a lot of the context you're referring to right now.
What?
I just haven't. That's what I'm talking about. Like,
we need to go back to your childhood right now.
Yeah, I'm so deprived. It's ridiculous. There's so many things I haven't seen, haven't ate, haven't watched.
There's a new one?
They're making a TV series? HBO's doing it. All right, I have a little bit of hope then if HBO's doing it. I thought you were going to say, like, Amazon Prime's going to take it and throw, like, $200 million at it and just mess it up.
But that's how it is. Interesting.
Okay, really?
Wait.
They should do that with One Piece.
Hogwarts? Around Harry Potter's story?
This is a regular story.
Really?
10 episodes?
Wow.
There's definitely not going to get it.
Okay.
10 seasons.
Okay.
Oh. Oh, 10 episodes
I'm,
per
I'm
season.
There.
Yeah.
I'm there. I got my one. My.
I wonder who they're going to cast.
Yeah, you have the one, dude.
They already got it all lined up?
Yeah, you can look. I don't like Dumbledore.
Dumbledore? Oh, yeah. But it's like we're comparing him to the old.
You can't get OG. Yeah, you can't get OG.
Huh?
They try to make somebody black.
Don't. Let me not say
who. Who? Who?
Hold on, I'm trying to guess.
I saw one for Dumbledore, and I saw one for Snape.
Trying to make Snape black? Are they going to get Snoop Dogg? Like, what are they going to do?
Snoop Dogg and
Snoop
Snape?
Dogg?
Yo, Snoop Dogg and Snape would be lit.
Snoop Dogg as
Snape. I feel like that's somewhat fitting
Snoop
for whatever
Dogg
reason.
Snoop Dogg as Snape is crazy. Okay. Recast.
I feel like that's a great cast right there.
That to me is.
I would tune in for that.
Yo, I think that's fitting.
He will go up to Draco, listen, nephew. Like, nah, I want to hear that. Like, I can't see Snoop Dogg, like, hitting somebody in the back of the head with a book. I can't.
Let's think this through, though, right?
Okay.
What's a critique of Snoop over the years? One side, other side, flip-flopping.
He be doing.
Snape.
Oh!
What side is he on? One side,
the
other.
I see the vision. I see the vision.
It's there.
You're right.
Cast Snoop Dogg as Snape. They already got the SN and P. So it's like. Snoop Snape. It's like right there. It's right there for you.
You could make Voldemort Suge Knight then.
Oh. Well, he's going to hang Harry.
Is this going to be based?
Hang Harry over the balcony.
So Vanilla Ice is Harry?
No. What are we doing?
Vanilla Ice.
Give me those royalties, Harry.
This is so bad. We might as well go all the way with it. Like, we have to find out who fits where.
Killian Murphy. Oh, okay.
He's Voldemort? Oh, he's dope. He's dope. I like Killian.
Who plays Ron Weasley?
Ooh, Ron Weasley?
Because of Vanilla Ice.
I actually like one of the most underrated characters for me in the films is Rupert Grint, who plays Ron Weasley.
Okay. You know what's crazy? Yeah. I was actually thinking this the other day. I don't know his name.
I didn't actually know his name. And then it was weird. What was it? Like a few years ago, someone wanted me to do like a collaboration with Rupert Grint. And I'm like, who is Rupert Grint? And they're like, Harry Potter. And I'm like, no, that's not Harry Potter. And they're like, no, he's in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So that's how I found out who Rupert Grint was. But I never
They
could have
just said Ron Weasley. That's
I never knew his actual name. Yeah, because Emma Watson, Radcliffe, but I never
knew. That's what
I
mean. Like, everybody knows Emma. Everybody knows Radcliffe. But nobody ever knows Rupert Grint.
Damn.
No one
Underrated.
Ever knows Rupert
Grint. Underrated.
They called him Sakura, bro. This guy's kind of grimy.
You know what? Going back to villains. All right, so Voldemort is really the worst villain. Because when I broke it down, right?
Okay.
He spent his second coming of life, right, in human form, going after a high school kid.
What about Rochimaru?
And a high school. His whole premise.
What are we? You flip it like Are you saying Voldemort's a PDF file? Is that where
we're going? No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is...
So Voldemort's not like us now? Is that what we're doing? Like, is that where we're going?
Where I'm going with...
That's so good. Like,
No. This is where I'm going with it, right? Yes. Voldemort had so much power, he really could have just taken over the world. He focused on a high school.
Because of the prophecy, though.
Right. Could have just taken over the world and ended the prophecy. Had everyone follow him, taken over the world.
I mean, yeah, he did. He did get obsessed with an underage teenager.
And Harry, and also the other thing too.
Just the rap climate nowadays just makes it so bad.
And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing too, right? Harry Potter had everything, right? J.K. Rowling gave him the entire blueprint to be a villain. Yeah. Harry should have became a villain. I swear it would have been so much better if Harry became a villain.
What was it? Because she started playing with the darkness in book 5, wasn't it? Order of the Phoenix.
Order of the Phoenix?
When he was like starting to let the anger overtake him and he was tapping in with Voldemort with the connection.
Yeah, and Ron was Ron was not. That, but I think also Goblet of Fire too set it off for him.
See, you're right. Like there's potential there. I feel like sometimes people go out of their way to like take a villain, do the hero arc, do the redemption story, and then flip it the other way.
Yeah.
But it's really hard to take the hero that everybody really likes and make a successful villain out of him.
Yeah.
I'm going to like Game of Thrones now. Like,
oh.
Right? Khaleesi. Everybody hated that when she turned into a villain.
But.
In that arc.
I never watched
it. No?
Neither have I.
No?
Oh, what?
But that's not surprising, is it? Right?
Like, yeah.
I haven't watched many things.
We're gonna give you a list after this,
please. Yeah.
We're gonna put you through it. We got Black Mirror for you. We got a lot for you.
The Matrix? Mm. I haven't watched that either.
Yo,
I swear to God,
you never watched.
Wait, what?
I never watched The Matrix.
Right, I'm gone.
No, I haven't watched so many things, dude. I feel like I'm just not tapped in.
You know what I hate about Family Guy? Family Guy low-key ruined The Matrix for me because of this one scene where Peter is like, the brothers who made The Matrix are sisters now. The brothers who made The Matrix are sisters now. And so I looked it up, and it's right. It's true. And, yeah, Peter Griffin made me mad. Like,
what, the Wachowski brothers?
They're sisters.
What?
They're sisters.
No. I was not tapped into that.
They're both sisters.
Right.
Interesting.
Shout out to Family Guy, getting us informed.
Family Guy ruins a lot of things, though.
Oh, yeah. No.
They're
very good at that. Yeah. Like, just making a satire out of everything that you love.
That in South Park.
You know, but South Park, they do political satire, right?
Mm.
Family Guy will outright just make fun of someone or something or just whatever.
Mm.
And they try to play it off as a fart joke.
Tight.
Yeah.
South Park, I can see that.
They'll put a little like, hey, we're gonna make fun of like the Ozempic situation, but we're gonna make it about like we're gonna call the drug Lizzo and make people like happy to be their weight. Like it's like they do like quirky spinoffs, right? Family Guy will be like, hey, you're fat.
yeah, that's true. That's the joke. Like, the thing with South Park that you can like that's like offensive, but you can respect it to a degree, is the fact that they don't mind going all the way with it when it comes to like,
yeah.
Like, if they're going to offend you or if they're going to offend something, they're going to offend everything. So it's like...
Isn't Kendrick doing a South Park collaboration?
I think so, yes.
Oh, yeah. Wait, for real?
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Kendrick is a good actor. I actually like him.
I saw his... Was it Power that he was in? I saw the clips from that. He's hilarious, dude.
Yo, so back to you, Knox, right? So being someone who plays a role within the music industry, who would you say... Actually, I don't know if you want to like answer this question, but... Who would you say is hip hop's biggest villain?
Mm. Right now? Or of general all time?
Let's say, because general of all time, I feel like that'll leads to like two people, Suge and Diddy, I'm gonna be honest.
Yeah.
But
that's exactly where I was going. That's exactly where I was going.
So let's say within.
And actually, you could probably even say like Diddy is bigger than Suge, depending on what you believe. Oh, yeah,
no, 100%. Diddy is.
Right? If mm-hmm. you believe all the connections from Diddy to Big to Pac,
yeah.
And that's biggest villain for me of all time.
Understand.
And the impact that he had. Or if you think that Suge is responsible for both, then you can make an argument that Suge is the biggest villain of all time.
Yeah.
Maybe biggest instigator of all time. I mean,
East Coast, West Coast, they got the crown for sure. Yeah. But so let's just say biggest villain that hasn't done like something heinous and they're not like locked up or anything. They're just a villain in general.
I mean, right now, again, it depends on your perspective, but I feel like Drake is definitely like one of the biggest villains in hip hop just because it's a lot of people want to see Drake lose, like rooting for that's rooting for a villain, isn't it? Because you want to see the villain lose. So Drake is kind of a villain right now because there's a lot of people who want to see him fail and who want to see him lose. I would say beyond that, biggest villain, and yet people love him, 50 Cent.
That's the right answer. That was my answer.
I think that's valid.
But Drake is valid too.
Yeah. Drake's valid because he's enemy number one.
Yeah.
So I understand that perspective.
That's like the here and now. But I would say if we're talking like past decade, 50.
Yep. 50, I could see
that
too.
Gotta be 50.
I watched a video on that recently. He's like, he's just... Bro, he literally came out... Whatever. He literally came out and like dissed... who was it that just passed away?
Bro, 50 disses everyone.
I know.
How to Rob.
Irv Gotti. But like just in general...
How to Rob.
Just in general... Yeah, How to Rob. But just in general, he's someone that's really, really, really petty. He doesn't forget anything. So it's like if he's beefing with you, he's beefing with you for life. So he don't...
Well, I'll go deeper, right? 50, there's been a lot of talks... he had a lot of conversations going into the beef between Drake and Kendrick because he's closer to Drake. So he was like advising Drake on how to move in beefs and with trolling and stuff. Mm. So like maybe 50 passing on the torch in that situation.
Mm. Interesting.
That's actually a good way to put it.
Mm.
Interesting.
But now you brought up How to Rob, and the line that makes me geek to this day is, when 50 said, I would rob ODB, but I feel like that'd be a waste of time. I really had to sit there and just like, yo, that is so funny and disrespectful at the same time. Because like...
50 said so many things that are disrespectful just objectively over the years. But like people just like, that's just 50.
That's just 50, right?
He's built his whole persona around that you just accept it. I feel like... certain artists can get away with more than other artists can.
Right.
Because of how they've built up what their brand is, what their persona is, like who they are. You
Kodak
know what I mean?
Black.
Mm.
But like, I feel like, but Kodak Black cannot do the same thing that 50. I don't think any rapper could.
No,
because,
definitely not the same way. But I feel like just with regards to like how he's sort of presented himself.
Okay.
I feel like a lot of stuff people just, that's just Kodak. He's just wilding out.
But I think too, like it's easier when you have someone of the older generation. Because they can call back, well, in my time, you know, we said all this stuff and it was okay, you know, and they'll just fall back on that. So they're like, all right.
Whereas, so then they're stuck in their ways.
Whereas I think it's harder to have, like, a newer generation villain, I feel like.
Mm. I feel like people get bored of you.
Wait, but hold on. 50 Cent? All right. 50 Cent is Batman, all right, in this scenario. Just hear me out. 50 Cent is Batman in this scenario, right?
Okay. Go on. There we go.
And Ja Rule is like a retired henchman. And 50 Cent is just going out of his way to always get at the henchman no matter what.
Yeah.
Because he automatically says he's a villain, so he just goes after him.
Always got to beat him up just to beat him up. It's like...
Bro, like when he bought his concert tickets.
Exactly. Like, that is so evil.
Like, why do that? Like, 50 is so successful, and he doesn't ever have to worry about Ja Rule again, and yet it's just like he goes out of his way. Like, he has his secretary put it in his schedule. Yeah. F with Ja Rule today, and he's like, all right, bet, I'm on it.
You know
like,
that reminds you know, me of?
Like, literally.
You know what that reminds you of? That reminds you of, have you ever watched Powerpuff Girls?
Yeah.
And Mojo Jojo was in jail, and they went out their way to go to the jail just to beat him up.
That's a 50 move
right there.
It's like, what's the point of doing that?
50 Cent is the Powerpuff Girls. You're right.
Yeah, 50 Cent is all three of them together.
You know what I read that was interesting that I didn't realize during the time because, you know, like the beef is happening, and I think it was just like a perfect storm because Murda Inc. was getting sued at the time.
Yes.
Right? So they had a cease and desist. So while Shady Records... and obviously 50 Cent at Shady, like, well, they're dropping all these diss tracks. People are like, well, they ended Ja Rule's career, but Ja Rule during that period couldn't really release anything. And then, like, behind the scenes, 50 even had a lawsuit out on Ja Rule that didn't hit the headlines the same as, obviously, we're talking lawsuits today and how much, so different time period. But Ja Rule was basically tied up behind the scenes. right? So there were some very underhanded things that were done during that situation to like kind of mute him so we couldn't have the same output to match the diss tracks that Shady and Camp and everyone was dropping on him. So is Ja Rule really the villain that a lot of people make him out to be? Or is 50 the true villain? But his master stroke was making everyone think Ja Rule was the villain.
I'm dumbfounded.
I know.
So
pretty much homie had him handcuffed.
I've just started looking into this. Like, it's a really interesting theory, and I just watched a video on it the other day. So I want to like do more research on this because I'm like,
interesting.
Wow. And then you start looking it up, and you see, there was a lawsuit. 50 did sue Ja Rule back. Like, it's wow.
Hands down, 50 Cent is the super villain.
Yeah, that's super a mastermind
evil villain. Like, oh, he can't do anything. I'm going to just.
Yeah, and then and also the feds were on Murder, Inc. then. So
right.
Wasn't FBI – the FBI was investigating them then. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they were literally tied up.
Damn. It's funny we're talking about lawsuits. Let's get into this now. So when it comes to the whole – obviously for those who don't already know, Drake's lawsuit against UMG, right? He made an effort to mention a lot of different YouTube reactors in his lawsuit for the purpose of – them potentially putting out narratives and the fact that they weren't initially getting copyright struck or whatever off of Kendrick's videos. They're trying to push a narrative, co-sign him, influencing their audience to go against Drake, essentially. How do you feel? How did you feel being not being one of the people name drop, but being amongst the community that they're involving amongst this beef?
See, that's the thing is, you know, the beauty of the internet is like people see a headline and then they'll just accept whatever narrative that supports what they want to do.
Yeah.
So like when you step back from the situation, this is what I always try to do in like situations like this. Like you step back and you take a wider view of it. The second that you mention someone in a lawsuit and you say that that person in the lawsuit, like a fellow reactor, is favoring one artist over the other, right? Favoring Kendrick, and that they're getting paid behind the scenes to do it. Drake has a very loyal fan base, right? He's got a fan base who rides for him. What do you think is going to happen to those creators that are mentioned? They're going to start getting attacked, right? It doesn't matter if Drake is suing them. I know he's not suing them. But because of that, that just creates this whole collateral damage effect.
Yeah.
Right. So that's one effect and one consequence of it. And there's crazy fans out there.
Absolutely.
You know, fan is root for fanatic. Yeah. So like you're putting them into the battle for no reason. And then beyond that, what it does too, and this is what annoyed me, is because we have so many battles with copyright claims, content ID, and with the labels. So if all of a sudden this can be weaponized, like whitelisting, because I'm always fighting to try to get, you know, my breakdowns whitelisted, to try to get it so that the reactors can get their fair share.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because legal copyright and fair use, like we should be getting 50% of all of this. But a lot of times labels take advantage of the YouTube copyright system and it makes it so difficult to access it without like the threat of going to court. Well, me versus a giant record label in terms of court fees and all that, like it's easy to get bullied out of situations.
Right.
Yeah. So like the second that all of a sudden you start to weaponize that, what do you think labels are going to do? They're never going to want to whitelist artists or help out artists again or do anything like that. In fact, they'll probably double down on the copyright strike system and on making our lives more difficult. So all of a sudden you're now affecting our livelihoods.
Yeah.
You're affecting how we make a living. So that's where I had an issue with it, because I stepped back and I saw the bigger picture of how this affects the greater ecosystem and how this is going to have effects. I'm already starting to see some of the effects of it. Like in terms of the claims that I have to deal with behind the scenes and what I'm seeing, it's like there's a new sort of organization now of publishing I've never gotten claim from before, but they're like just blanketing everything right now. It's crazy.
And damn. It's unfortunate because you guys,
I was going to say this premise, they're just like sending out notice like, hey.
It's weird. I've never seen this before. It's weird because obviously like Sony is separate to UMG, but now they're like together. Like it's like a huge claim. It's like they're all kind of like uniting behind the scenes. I know there's three big ones, so it's right? Like, yeah.
And so now there's like a fourth one. Or like, no, you're saying like they're collaborating.
Yeah. It's like it's like a weird publishing supergroup now.
Yeah.
That we have to deal with. But yeah, I mean, that's just like the collateral damage. And I feel like, was this thought about? Was this purposefully done to, like, ruin all of reactors? Because at the end of the day, it also hurts Drake. Like, you piss off all the reactors. Like, we're also giving you free promotion. We're like the modern day DJs, aren't we? You know, yeah. You know, like the mixtape DJs back in the day and who they would put on and stuff. Like, that's kind of what reactors help to do. So, no, I don't think it was like maliciously intended that way to go after the reaction community. But because it wasn't thought through, that's my issue. Because it will have effect.
Yeah,
it will have a lasting impact and be collateral damage. So that was my issues with the situation. I just wish that we would have been left out of it.
It's understandable because that caught me off guard when I first saw him. Like, wait, why are you talking about Zeus? Or like, why are you talking about
Because No Life Shaq? He threw Zeus in there. He threw Shaq in there. Like,
threw Shaq? No Life Shaq. He threw freak.
Shaquille O'Neal.
No. No Life Shaq. No Life Shaq. He's a creator on YouTube as well. But at the end of the day, you guys are all in the same community.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you're attacking these guys for dropping this content and you guys drop the same content surrounding the beef because you guys are reacting as the videos are coming out, that whole period of time, Kendrick just dropped. Oh, Drake just dropped. Yeah. Kendrick just dropped. Y'all are just dropping as it's going. So if you guys are all dropping your opinions and you guys are essentially putting out the same content at one time, you guys are all grouped in together.
Yeah.
So for certain people to get picked out, he's coming at the whole community. That's
well put because, yeah, that's the other knock-on effect is people will go, well, they also reacted to this at the same time, so they must be like them. And then they put us all under the same umbrella. So it is. You come for a few of us. You're coming for the whole community because it's just all the side effects of it. But, yeah.
I love how everyone rebelled, too, even at that time. Like, once this came out, the amount of reactors that came out, because I keep in touch with, like, this type of stuff, a lot of them came out. He dropped a diss track.
Oh, he dropped the diss track?
Yeah. He dropped the diss track. Mad people came out just like, yo, like, Drake, you know what you just did, right?
Yo, and I did a go-go switch up on it, too.
Oh, DMV, bro. Yeah. That's what I'm saying, bro.
The thing is, I'm not listening to music like that at all.
Yeah.
I'm on the tap.
I had to put the go-go on it because, I was like, all right, we'll do this, we'll address this, and then we'll also rep a little bit for it.
That's what's up.
I'm going to tap into that. I promise you that.
Nah, it's what it's. It's
I mean, because, you know, like, I'm a rapper. So, like, if I have an issue, I'm not going to run around and tweet about it. I'm not going to run around and post on socials. I'm just going to make a track on it and deal with it in that way because that's how I deal with things. So. Yeah.
All right, as a rapper, all right, let me ask you this, because this is something that I've been – where would you rank Jadakiss in your tier?
Ooh.
Jada is so underrated. He is so underrated.
Kiss of Death is one of my favorite albums, and I clocked that not
Yo,
that
you remember, you remember the verses when he just went absolutely ham?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh my
He's
God.
In New what York. An Everyone iconic was situation, crazy man.
Bro, like, that verses
– he was on one. He was on one that night.
Man, he destroyed
it. What's his name? The guy from Dipset, Z something – Bro, he was a fool that night. I hated him so much. I thought Dipset would have won. I'm not gonna lie, cause I'm a locksmith. I'm a really living off experience. I rock with it heavy, right?
I love Cameron. Dipset going into it. You're right. I would have said probably Dipset.
But they put Yonkers like they show what Yonkers can do.
Mm-hmm. They just brought the energy that night, and Jada was just he was on a different level.
When you think of me, you think of a problem. Who, what, when, and how you gonna solve him? Automatic or revolving? KI, double lesson. Here's the lesson. Most beams are infrared, but mine is fluorescent.
I'll tell you what, I think it says something when you have top-tier lyricists always shouting out Jada, right? That shows how much he is respected by other lyricists.
Wait, which rappers shouted
him out? Eminem's put Jada in his top 10 before he shouted him out. Yeah.
Okay.
Till I Collapse?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. You know what's crazy? I've never, okay, so I'm more of a fan of Slim Shady than Eminem himself, just because, I like that type of creativity. For me, it was just I hate horrorcore rap. But Slim Shady is the only rapper that I'll ever say I can listen to just because of how creative he is with the wordplay.
Hmm.
I went out of my way to listen to Eminem, but I can tell you Eminem songs. But from everything that I know about Eminem, I put him as number one in my top best rap lyricists of all time, solely because of his wordsmith. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a rapper that has that type of wordsmith. The second, Jadakiss.
Jadakiss. That's valid. I'll give you that.
That's what I put. I really put Jadakiss up there.
Jadakiss can rap. I feel like, and he's someone that people don't give enough credit. And I feel like it's just because there's so many more people that are, more out there. I feel like Jada's always been good in his lane.
I'm just thinking, Jada has always been underappreciated because he just hasn't had that many like radio hits.
Yeah. Mm.
What was the biggest? Why blew up? I remember when Why took off.
Because back honest, in the day, I blame Anthony Hamilton.
Why was
Anthony Hamilton?
Anthony Hamilton. Like, I'll be very honest. Anthony Hamilton carried it.
Anthony Hamilton.
I love Why, but
I like Anthony Hamilton. Yeah.
But
Anthony did carry that.
GZA,
yeah.
I'll put him number three.
GZA.
Ooh.
I don't know if you guys are hip to.
See, I like repping the East Coast though. I like repping the East Coast. Yeah. Right? I like that.
Like the West Coast, I like this West Coast sound, but I get so fixated on the beat that I never really pay attention to the lyrics. That was my biggest problem. I clocked that a few years ago. Like, I really love the West Coast sound, but I just can't.
I feel like New York cats and like East Coast in general has always been more cerebral with the lyricism.
Yeah,
right. They've been more like stacked and layered with the lyrics. Like West Coast was more vibes.
Vibe, yeah, that's a good word for it.
And more sound and like movement type of
better production, you know? Too. The West Coast has better production.
You can't touch West Coast production. Like, even me being East Coast, like West Coast is probably my favorite production.
Yeah, but when it comes to lyricism, and personally, I just think I prefer the East Coast just because I feel like, for one, East Coast side, you know, but nah, it's also because like
we were all raised on East Coast. So.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
but I just feel like as though that they're just. I don't know. It just like all goes well. It's, even with the raw beats, I just prefer that more.
Yeah.
That whole like, Roger, you hip to Coast Contra?
Yeah.
Coast Contra.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
so
that's right Coast now. Contra. Like, I'm rocking with him heavy right now.
East Coast.
I'm supposed to, that's a good reminder. I got to hit up Rio because he's producing a track for me on my new album. So, that's
wait, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, I might do a reaction. I'm gonna peep it.
I rock with Coast Heavy, but you know, even like Eric Jamal, he's East Coast.
We got lyricists here. We definitely got lyricists here. One of my favorite albums of all time. Well, my number one, but it's like tied with three different albums in total. But my number one favorite album is one of them is Under Pressure by Logic, and that's one of my favorite albums too. Just because like sonically, I just think. Sonically, I just think it sounds really, really good. And that was back when I feel Logic was a lot more cohesive with his flows. Because you know with Logic, when he raps, it can go here, there, everywhere.
Logic is like hit or miss.
It's real unstructured, for a lot of people. I feel like when it came to Under Pressure, I feel like things were a lot more solid. There's a more solid flow throughout the album. And even with his things.
I loved early mixtape Logic. Like, obviously, being an MD cat, like, we were past that early. Like, we were past Logic mixtapes. Like, you know, I think it's, like, trendy. Like, yeah, I knew them before they blow up. But, yeah, I was bumping Logic before he blew up. Like,
for sure.
If you were MD and tapped into the underground scene, you knew who Logic was.
Logic really carried.
Logic's fire. 5 a.m.?
For me.
That was my first song I heard from him, 5 a.m.
I don't like Logic right now. I'm mad.
Why is that?
I'm gonna be very, very honest with you guys. I've been trying to play Logic in chess, and he keeps cooking me. He has an AI bot named Logic with his face on it.
Really?
Yeah, and I just Logic is actually it's too good, and he'd be talking smack too virtually, bro. I'm not making this up.
You getting whipped by AI Logic?
Yes, bro.
Dang, bro.
I'm not making this up. Like,
you know who talks trash a lot? Duolingo.
Oh yeah,
Duolingo.
Duolingo
was tapping into the Kendrick Drake beef, and they were tapping in with.
They're on the Kendrick side.
The bird died, the owl died.
The owl passed away. And one of the comments there, like, oh, they're looking into, they're checking into the other owl guy. He's talking about Drake or something like that.
Nah,
they were being more direct than Joey Badass.
Like, yeah, Joey's one of my favorite lyricists as well.
Yeah,
him. But again, East Coast. We talking East Coast cats, like.
I'm still like Lil Wayne really said longer than Nigerian hair or tougher than Nigerian hair.
Yeah, he just says like these random ass lines, doesn't he? But you're like, they work. And I feel like if any other artist said it, it wouldn't work. But because Wayne said it and the way that he delivers it, like,
he said,
it just hits.
What did he say? I think it was on a Trippie Redd song. He said, it ain't A-OK, but it's going to be OK.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? Wayne just be saying stuff, but he's fine. I swear, when it comes to punchline rap, Wayne is absolutely number one for me. And, you know, he freestyles pretty much everything. So like, he doesn't remember.
Like,
yeah, that's why there's so many songs he doesn't remember. Because he's just putting out so much stuff and just saying stuff. To be able to think of these things off the top of my head. Matter of fact, can we do this? Can we do this now? I want to play a game with you guys.
Okay.
And I thought, and I came up with it today.
You just, yeah, I'm a little worried about that look you just gave both of us right there.
No, I just wanted to confirm. So the game is called Entendre, right? We'll be given a random prompt or a random subject or whatever the case is from Jamar. So it's a unbiased third party. And we'll be given, I'd say, probably about a minute or so to come up with the best rap line we can think of off of strictly that. So if you want to add double entendres if you can, or like some crazy wordplay or whatever, it's only going to be within about a line or so. So
are we all getting the same prompt, or is he doing?
Yeah, we're all going to get the same one. Honor code, so I trust you to not go through Google or ChatGPT or anything like that. Like, type in your notes app or whatever. Once we're done, we'll showcase our line. We'll leave it up to the audience to decide who made the best one. We'll explain whatever meanings behind the line that you mentioned. We'll judge it how we see fit, and we'll probably just send it to each other on Instagram so we can all see the bar, so we don't have to be – you don't have to show us your line, or you have to repeat yourself 80 times. Like, we can just read it.
All right.
Valid?
Yeah, that works.
So, Jamar, I'll have you put – is a minute valid? Do you think a minute will be fine?
Sure.
Okay. So I'd say you can put a minute on a timer, and you'll give us a random subject or random prompt or random something just for us to go off of. Give us something to go off of, and we'll have to think of a rap line to go off of that.
Huh? Anthem. The word anthem.
Anthem. All
right, bet. 1 minute, 37 seconds later.
60
seconds, sounds up.
Okay.
All right, yo. I don't need a beat. I got power like Tyreek. Matter of fact, like Ghost. Matter of fact, I'm a phantom. You're now tuning in to the anthem. There you go.
Okay.
Better than yours. And yours. I'm the best. Forget the rest. Say it with my chest. Ah! I'm a Loch Ness monster. Pull up in a monster truck, that is.
Okay. I think the line I came up was, loyal man the way I keep her, called this the anthem for.
Love you, boy.
Like anthem, health keepers.
Yeah, that's
like,
what I thought.
This is like the anthem, like the
song. Oh, wait. Like anthem, like the insurance.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's close. That's up. That's
but like
up.
This is the anthem, like the song.
I like it. I got a popping like Drake, Ghost Rider in the Phantom, tires spinning, throw a tantrum, throw it up to UGK. This ain't a game, but I play his anthem.
R.I.P. to UGK. That was tough.
Yeah, okay, fine.
I want to do more like Quint Miller and, you know, like the Ghost Rider, Ghost Riding, Drake line. Yeah, that was my entendre I was running through.
You know, I actually really like Quint Miller's music. Like him as an artist himself, I love them.
He has a song called Potential that I really like.
Yeah.
That would have been, see, I like to do like even bars. So I wanted 4 bars. That was only 3. So okay, like, because we ran out of time, I was getting ready to flip into the Quint Miller.
I don't know why we played this game with him.
I didn't want to say anything. Like, I was like, this feels like a very unfair game, but I wasn't. Like, I was just staying quiet over here. Like, okay, we're gonna.
It just felt
like an easy serve, didn't it? Like, you just threw me an alley oop, and I'm just like, okay.
All right, maybe I just wanted you to.
Steph Curry coming into the room. Hey, you guys, I got a game for us. We're all gonna play horse. All right.
I feel like I kept it low key though.
Yeah, like,
you know, I did.
He's like, you know, I'll just play around with it. I could have added 8 more bars. So just keep it.
That's why I did a freestyle, because I'm like, yo, he's gonna have something tough, so I'm gonna just like freestyle so I can look tough, you know? Yeah, like,
fair enough.
Mine's all strategy.
You say we should have talked about that, like have telepathy.
We could have freestyled that, but you know, like mirroring effect, like because he got on the phone. I'm sad, like, oh shit, I should be like putting my shit on the phone too. Like, it
just make it seem like I'm really thinking it.
If I was on the phone, I would have cheated. I'm not even gonna lie, I would have cheated. I would have went on ChatGPT, hey, write me the best bar in the world right now.
That goes to show your integrity.
Bro, I said
honor system, though.
It's a game for one in a million podcast. Of course the host is gonna cheat.
That's why I won at Uno twice.
Again, so we had a script.
Wow.
We had a script. It was a rigged game, but
it wasn't a rigged game in the slightest.
You literally broke up with your boyfriend. You said, yo, I need
a boyfriend. Can you stop saying
that? I got you. I said, I got you, man.
I shouldn't have to explain this.
Okay, the game wasn't rigged. Is that what you're going
to
say?
The game was not rigged, and I want you to clarify all context.
Oh, you're not ready? Okay, Bilal said he's not ready. So Bilal does not have a boyfriend.
I thought you were going to bring him to the next family function.
Don't do that.
You literally said you want to. You have a big that. Announcement to make.
Yeah.
You know what blows me about this? I might make a reel about this just to see what responses we'll get. But I don't want to do
it. People are going to say, Bilal, it's okay.
It's okay,
was that, man. Is that a Freudian slip? What blows me about this?
Pause.
Okay. No.
I can't stand y'all. Because that works. That's what pisses me off about it. Oh, man. But let's circle back. I feel like we should circle back. What are you currently working on?
What am I working? Oh,
what projects you got going on right now?
Yeah, man. Like, it's kind of a weird space because I dropped my album, Chaos Theory 2, in November. And, like, that was the most successful album rollout I've had so far. Mm-hmm. Like, it's done incredible. I think we hit, like, 1.3 million streams on it. Like, do that independently. Had a bunch of singles with it. Like, I'm in a weird space because I'm kind of working on an album, but I'm kind of not at the same time. Like, it's gotta be right. Like, I'm putting out a lot of music that I'm working on, but like, I really want this to be something special. And I think the other thing too is, you know, we talk about like bringing it back to regional sounds and like regional call outs. So I really want to do something with this next project. It's very DC, you know, it's very PG and it shows love to our community and it highlights that, you know, it highlights our lingo, it highlights our sounds, highlights what we do and like getting back to putting on that authenticity. And I'm excited about that because like the few that I've got so far, like it's building. And then obviously I just feel like when there's more chaos like in the world or in my own life, and there's been a hell of a lot of it, like that's when I make my best art. And like, not to be like depressing, but like there's been a lot of chaos that's inspired me, so it'll be interesting to see where we kind of end up. Like, I don't know, it's really tough because when you set out to make an album, it's how much do you guide it or how much do you let the music kind of guide you into what the themes are going to be and how you're going to connect it all and put it together. And right now, like, there's a lot that's just kind of speaking to me that's, I'm excited to for the next chapter.
Let me ask you something, right? Will you let me be on the intro for the next album?
Yeah.
All right, bet, because I Googled it. Hold on. I went on ChatGPT. I Googled it. So that's a verbal agreement. And it is contractually binding, so especially depending on the circumstances. And since I say, will you, and you agreed, so I will be in the intro for your next album.
Yeah.
All right, awesome. You guys
see that. See, the thing is, we didn't specify what that intro would be.
Hey, I'm okay with it, as long as I'm on the intro.
Just take a part of the One in a Million podcast.
Honestly,
and just
I could.
That in this.
I've got some, we'll talk about this. Like, you don't need to contract me out for that. Like, We can figure out something.
Oh, I mean, no, we got it.
We can figure out something really dope.
And if you don't put me on, I'm gonna drop some diss tracks.
He's gonna drop a diss track.
ChatGPT's gonna help me write some diss tracks.
I don't have time for a family feud. I can't be doing this right now.
Well, Uncle Jerry's not gonna like that.
You know that because family matters. You know.
Whoa! You would have won the entendre game with that one. All right, Drizzy.
See, that wasn't the word though. He said anthem. Nah. What do you think is more of like a heavy burden on you? Being a, I guess, what do you feel is more impactful on your personal life? And maybe not like feelings-wise, more so like how you operate throughout your day-to-day. Being a reactor or being a rapper?
I think it takes more conscious work to be a reactor and content creator because I've been an artist my whole life. Mm. So like that's just natural. Like even if I didn't have a platform, I would still be making art because it's like, it's my coping mechanism. It's my outlet. Like, it's just, that's a part of me and who I am. You know what I mean? So like, I feel like that probably has more of an impact on my life because that is who I am. But in terms of what will probably directly affect my day more because it takes more conscientious work is the being a YouTube content creator and reactor on that side.
Okay.
How you like that for a dual answer? There you go.
No, here's my question, right?
He's like, all right, bet.
Yeah. What's funny about that? Hold on.
You just see the way you said it.
You just see like you're plotting, like, I got some for him.
No, this is a genuine, this is a question that I've always like been curious about, right?
Okay.
With rappers. Have you ever just like had a bad experience? Like, let's say you went to Coastal Flats, right?
Mm.
And your pasta is not like cooked right. It's like undercooked. Would you ever like make a diss track towards the chef? I'm being 100% serious, because sometimes when I'm at a restaurant and I get mad, I'd be writing diss tracks.
I think there was one time. What's like the silliest thing I've written a rap about?
Well, it's not silly. It's a serious thing. Yeah. Hold on. Why? Yeah,
okay. It's like how you have a bad
experience. I feel stupid asking this question. No, this is not a safe space.
Why are you trying to play him?
You were being vulnerable. You were having a family moment. And I did
Aunt
that.
Aunt Joey's not going to like this.
Aunt Joey?
Don't be mean.
I'm not
mean.
I mean, I lost my wallet in an Uber one time, and I did write like a diss on the Uber driver situation. So you know what I'm saying? Like I did actually do that. So like I was so pissed that my wallet was missing, and like I never released that. I will never release that because you don't make a song out of that.
How you gonna blame the Uber team and the whole corporation because he dropped his wallet in the car?
Because it was just misplaced anger at the time. And somebody's gonna get it, bro. I couldn't take accountability in that situation. So the Uber driver was getting the smoke at the time. Like it just,
you know what? That's fair. That's fair.
That's so funny to me.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's like you get 9 nuggets out of 10. It's like screw McDonald's, yeah, bro.
I'm saying Ronald McDonald is a
funny.
No, but the amount of times I've written diss tracks on my door, I'll just be like just dissing somebody for no reason whatsoever, just because I had a bad day.
Yeah.
Or a bad experience. Like, you know my beef with Uber.
I was about to say, it's funny you mentioned Uber. You got Uber beef with Uber.
I got a beef with Uber. They charged me for something that I should... Bro, they charged me for an order that I placed that took over 2 hours to come, that never showed up. When I canceled it, they charged me. No. And
that's arch nemesis type vibes right there.
I contacted them. They said there's nothing we can do. I was like, all right, bet. Not rocking with them.
Is Uber the biggest villain?
Uber is my biggest villain.
Who's your biggest villain?
And just in life?
Yeah, in life. In life. Who's your life adversary?
I despise the entire profession of a tow truck driver. People who go out their way to just take people's cars. And it's not even them because it's their job. But the premise of it pisses me off.
You know what? I'm with you on that.
Statute limitations, yeah, I'm good. One time, I got a car towed. I hopped the fence, checked to see that there were cameras. There weren't any cameras in the tow lot. Sat in the car and waited for them to open up to bring in a new car, and then I drove out.
That's so smart and evil. But wow. That, you know, that happened to me, but not like that. I got my car towed. Me and my boys showed up to the towing place. We entered, and we're talking to the lady, right? And she verbatim tells me, you can just grab your car and go. You'll be fine. We get my car. We leave. 2 weeks later, the cops show up at my house saying I didn't pay. I show them the video of her telling me I can do it. She said, well, they're saying that you got to go pay for your car. So I had to go back and pay $150. I was pissed.
Damn. See, I was pissed with the tow company because they had just towed my car a day before. Oh. And I paid that. So they got me again at a spot that I was told, because I was at one of my boys' house, and he's like, yeah, you can park here. And we were then going out after that, and then I come out, and the car's gone again. And then I look up, like, who the tow company was, and it was the same tow company. I'm like, I'm not doing this again. I'm not double paying you. Like, and it was literally there for, like, an hour.
You want to know how my New Year's was ruined this year?
Go on.
My wife's car got towed. On New Year's. Exactly.
An hour
before New Year's. Up until 2 hours after New Year's, we were looking for a car. We thought it got stolen. We parked right in front of our uncle's crib.
Yeah.
Right where we always park. Every single day of the year, we always parked in this one spot directly in front of his house. That's one night, a tow truck came and took the car. We did not hear nothing. We checked the Teslas, like you know how Teslas have, like, those security cameras? Did not see a single thing. We thought the car actually got stolen. So we called the cops thinking, like, yo, the car got stolen. Because the police, you know how, like, once a car gets towed, they have, like, the tow company will put, like an hour later, they'll, like, write down where the car is, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There was nothing in the system. The cops showed up. They were taking the police report, everything.
Damn.
Then they finally, after, like, around 2 a.m., it finally entered into the system. And we found out that it got towed.
I swear, bro.
That's a nightmare.
And now y'all see why I hate just the profession.
I think we've established that's probably the greatest life adversary right there. It's tow truck drivers.
That and people putting boots on cars.
You know what? And just because we said it, because I feel like it today, like McDonald's can get it too.
Yeah.
They can get it.
No, for sure.
Yeah. Chick-fil-A's better anyways.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, no. Yeah. What? This is not even debatable.
In-N-Out. In-N-Out, too. I wish we had an In-N-Out in this area.
I've never had In-N-Out.
You've never had it.
We even went down to Texas. I didn't even get to stop by.
We really have a very long list we got to give you now.
There's so much that I have to do and experience in life that I haven't done yet.
You've done Raising Cane's, right? That's in the area now.
They just opened one nearby. Like
4 years ago.
No, they opened one recently. That's like, they opened a new one recently. Okay. But I've never had Raising Cane's.
Oh, they're all over PG. Like, Raising Cane's is like the new thing.
Just because I'm here.
Texas
I'm just
toast, the dipping sauce. I still think Chick-fil-A is better, though. But In-N-Out's a good shout.
I'm going to try In-N-Out. I want to try In-N-Out.
Have you guys ever thought about, have heard about a Heart Attack Grill?
What?
In Nevada.
No.
There is a burger joint. If you have to go on a scale, and if you weigh over, like, what, 500 pounds, you get to eat for free.
Heart Attack
Grill. Wait, huh?
Heart Attack Grill. It's a restaurant in Nevada.
And people actually try to do it?
You know those, like, those huge factory scales?
Yeah. Mm.
That you stand on that. The screen will show you your size. If you weigh over a certain weight, you get to eat for free. And people are visibly upset when they don't weigh the 500 pounds or whatever it is. Like,
I just don't think that's worth it.
Like, no, it's not. They had a spokesperson who died. He died a few years ago.
Dang.
Yeah.
Do you think it's like one of those carnival games where they rig it so like you never hit that amount?
For this, I don't think it is rigged.
Okay.
That's very cynical. That is very cynical of you. Good. You've been paying attention to all of our conversations.
Of course, bro. I'm just trying
We've converted them.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think outside the box,
yeah,
bro.
Hey,
I'm family at the end of the day, right? I'm family. Oh, man. I feel this was fun.
I just want to say that. I enjoyed this.
This was a pleasure, man. Yo.
Well, I got to. Oh, no, no. Just before we call. Why did you want to do a podcast with two random guys?
Yes.
Honestly.
I know we're both. I know I'm very handsome. I know he's very incredibly handsome. I know that.
I mean, it runs in the family.
I look like young Denzel.
In all seriousness.
Yo, Jamar. Look at
him. He's like, I was trying to make a joke for you, and then he just, nah.
Dang. Done. That's foul. Yeah, why us of all people?
Because I saw that you guys are from the area. And, like, for me, like, one of my things is, like, every time I shoot a music video, like, I try to link up with local creators. Like, when I do shows. Always try to link up with local creators because for me, hip hop is about community and, you know, it's about connecting that community. So it was easily a no brainer for me. And like I said, like I really don't do podcasts. Like I don't do podcasts with many people. I don't do many interviews, but the second that I saw where you guys were from, I checked it out.
That's
I'm like,
love. That's love. That's love.
That's the reason.
Now, last
that's
question
right there. And even when I was driving over, I'm like, Have I made a bad decision? Because I know nothing about them. I have no idea what's going on. Like, what am I walking into?
We're a nice bunch.
You
could
have walked into a crack house. You know that, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I could have.
Hey, but you didn't.
You didn't? No, we...
Now, last question. What would your dream collab track be? Let's talk it into existence.
Let's keep it local. Let's keep it local. I want a Wale.
Okay.
Valid.
Okay.
Wale.
Valid.
Yeah.
That's it? Just Wale?
Let's do like a cypher. Let's get like Wale. Let's get Cordae on it.
Cyphers. I love
that. Let's bring Logic on it. Like, let's do it all.
I would love that. I would love a cypher. Hey, I actually love cyphers.
Y'all are hearing this now. A-Train? Wale. A-Train's valid. A-Train's so valid.
I love that one.
I always think about Danny Brown's verse on that joint.
Oh. I rocked with heavy with Yellow Wolf.
Yeah.
Yellow Wolf.
Joey was on that joint. Yeah.
Yellow Wolf, in my opinion, had the better freestyle out of all of them.
That's valid. Wow. That was a whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Wale, Logic, Cordae. Y'all hear this now. Tap in with bro for sure. Matter of fact, let's make it a One in a Mountain presents One Train D&B edition.
One Train.
Ooh.
Boom. But we don't have to call it
Silver
One Train.
Silver Line.
Go. Thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you for
clap it up. Clap it up for Knox Hill for the one time.
Tell them where they can
find
you.
I don't even know which camera we're...
Oh, that's your camera.
This is your camera.
That's my
camera.
Tell
them where they can find you. Yeah. All that.
YouTube, Knox Hill. Go on Instagram. It's Knox Hill DMV. DMV does not stand for Department of Motor Vehicles. It is DC, Maryland, Virginia.
Say that.
Always.
Say that.
That's what they say. I still say Department of Motor Vehicles.
Because he's not like us.
I'm not like you guys at all. I'm not like them.
Diss track coming soon.
I'm going to be a feature. Let's talk trash. Oh, one thing that we like to do with our guests before we end off is, do you have a message that you would send to the youth or to your younger self? Anything that you'd like to give out to promote, just to send a good message out there and leave them off.
Don't let your past define you, and don't worry too much about your future. Focus on the moment and be present, and make the most out of every opportunity.
I like that. I actually love that. Well, I love that.
That's fine.
I needed that. I actually needed that, so I love that.
I appreciate that. Please like, subscribe, comment. Comment what you want to see us do next. Subscribe to Knox Hill. Get his merch. His merch is fire, by the way. It's like designed with the Pokemon logo.
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
Bars. Gotta catch them all. The bars. Like,
I like that.
It's fire.
Yeah.
You know, great minds think alike. You know, one in the mountain, based off the Reese's logo. You see what I'm saying? Like, we're all there with it. So it's like, yeah. But yeah, thank y'all for watching. Thank y'all so much for your support. We're gonna be on top of it for sure. Y'all be safe. Take care of yourselves.
Bye.